Well, good evening again. It's good to be with you once again this Lord's Day, and I hope it's been a good day for you, a restful day, and it's a pleasure to be able to come back and be with you once again. And I also always want to say I appreciate so very much the young guys stepping up and helping us out when we're a little short in services. I appreciate their efforts, and I want to encourage them. I hope you do, too, to continue being able to step up anytime they are needed. So really appreciate it. Look with me in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Matthew, the 22nd chapter is one of the great tie-ins to the Old and New Testament. And it's sort of a jumping off point, a springboard point for a good study with regard to comparison of the two. And I thought we would start there and in a couple of hours come back and we'll end there. In our study. So, looking with me in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, begin with me in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second like to it, like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And I've appreciated so much how he combined these thoughts together. But I'm not really going to talk about in that particular way of what he was arguing with them about at that stage. I just want to pick up on a point that he was making with regard to the relationship of the Old and the New Testaments. And when we think about it, I just want to talk about how we, come on now, don't do this to me. There we go. Law and love, how it connects together and how it joins and how they stand together as two different ideas. And so when we think about the Old and New Testament, so many times people have just very stark ideas about the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I think we can start off with the idea that the whole Old Testament and New Testament, the whole Bible as we would say it, is regarding the redeeming of sinful man through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the divine grace of our Lord. And it's kind of the great point where we could start. They both go together, but so many times, and I've heard it many times, been told before, the old law had to do with law and something we can't be helped by. And the new covenant has to do with love. And that's a complete difference in them. And I it's kind of why I wanted to study this tonight, because no, I don't think that's a correct and an adequate way of looking at it. The Old Testament or the Old Covenant, we say, predicted and prophesied the coming of the Messiah. Certainly so. And we can read in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, about that and how John 3:16 tells us that the love of God sent his Son into the world. When we think about it, that gets closer to the idea of really what they are. Jesus was a fulfillment. That's probably where we can start off right there. Jesus was a fulfillment of the old law. Look with me in Acts, the 8th chapter, where Philip is talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch is reading Isaiah 53. And he's reading that passage that we know about. Acts 8 and verse 32. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And we all know that's Isaiah 53, isn't it? And yet, here is Philip going to tell him and explain to him that that was talking about Jesus Christ. And that's what the Ethiopian eunuch would have to learn. But as we start talking about a further combining of the thought of the Old and New Testament, let me suggest to you, first of all, the law and love don't necessarily exclude each other. It may in the thinking of some people, but not necessarily in the Bible. because we just started off with that very passage. The idea of what is the greatest commandment? He says to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. So there is a sense in which we understand that it does not exclude one another. Old and New Testament are from the same author. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Law is the God of love in the New Testament, as they might want to say it. Look with me in Deuteronomy. If you're going to go back with me, Deuteronomy, where Moses again is giving the law, and before they go into the promised land. But in Deuteronomy 6, which is what he quoted, as we read back in Matthew 22, he quoted beginning here in verse 4, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your strength. And that's a passage we just read in Matthew 22. He's quoting from this statement, which is a sermon from Moses just before they go over into the promised land. He says in verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And again, we see right there, that's just about where we get to, because he starts off in verse 5, he says, you shall love the Lord your God, how? Well, he said, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the very next statement, verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. We're bringing together the idea of a commandment and the idea of love. And they've joined together. And it's the way God presents it to us. Look with me further. The Deuteronomy 16th chapter. Deuteronomy the 11th chapter. Look at verse 1. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. Therefore you shall... And I just picked out this chapter because you can just see it all through here, these sermons of Moses. But Deuteronomy 11, verse 1, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgment, and his commandments always. And then drop down to verse 13. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will give you the reins upon the land. And he goes on so forth, talk about some blessings he will bring to him. Look further down, verse 22. For if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you. And I guess we could spend most of our evening this evening just talking about the Old Testament, where we have verses like this, where he says, I command you to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And that's important because that's part of the law. It's part of what Moses was claiming to teach to us. The God who gave us the Old Testament is also the God who gave us the New Testament. Go back with me to the New Testament for a few verses. Look at 1 John. 1 John, the 4th chapter. First, and look at two verses at one time with me. And this is the point I'm trying to make, that law and love don't exclude each other. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and we'll look over into 2 John. Look at two verses at one time. 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's one of the key passages that so many people have. The New Testament is about the love of God. And it is, but not so many times the way people think. Yes, it is about the love of God and everything about God that wanted for mankind. But look over in 2 John. All of us probably could quote this verse 9, 2 John 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. I mean, not only did the same God write those two passages, the same writer, John, the apostle of love, wrote those two passages. In one, we'll see where he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But on the other hand, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." Very powerful. I mean, you could add like James 1:25, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer." This man is blessed in his doings or in his deeds. Yeah, there's love and there's law. And they don't exclude one another. Look with me, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the chapter of love that Paul writes to them. John, we just read two passages from John, read a couple of passages from Paul. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and you probably know this whole chapter is just that wonderful passage on love, but let's pick out one. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, love, he's talking about, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they shall cease, and where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. He's talking about love bears all things and believes all things. And people have some very definite opinions about that verse. And yet you can take the same apostle over in Galatians, the next book over, or after 2 Corinthians, Galatians, the first chapter, and you can read verse 9, where he says, "As we have said before, so say I now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Man, how do you put all that together? I mean, you can read these completely different verses that just seem to be talking in two completely different directions, and yet they're written by the same author, inspired by the same God. And that has created problems throughout the centuries. In the early part of the second century, there was a writer that lived in what we call today Turkey. But a writer lived there. He was a preacher of some note, identified with the church. His name was Marcion. You can read up about him. And he came to the conviction that the Old Testament was written by, if it was a God, it was a sorry, low down, no good, rotten, nasty God. And the New Testament was written by one of love and honor and grace. And he just tried to completely take it apart. A lot of people believe John was writing about him when John wrote his letters in the latter part of the first century. He was writing about people like that. And he kind of went the Gnostic way, but he developed what was called Marcionism. And it was really tragic in what he had to say about what God wanted them to understand. But again, we're looking at just this idea of law and love in the Bible do not exclude one another. They help us understand things. Look with me in Matthew, the 5th chapter. You might be able just to quote this one. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount, we read verse 17. He says, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? But to fulfill." Look again with the same attitude. Paul, this time, Galatians, the 5th chapter, and we look down at verse 6, and look at the two passages together. Galatians, Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And then we look at Galatians 5, and we look down verse 6. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love," which is created quite a problem for a lot of people. It's wrong to think that law and love cannot be combined and used by God. Just exactly the same issue many times where you have to deal with faith and works. There are many people who believe there's no connection between faith or works, and they are. Works is a way that we define our faith in the service of God. if the New Testament is not law of some kind, we were talking about in 1 John the other day, if New Testament is not the law of God and the very word of Christ, we could never say somebody's sin, because we know that sin is a transgression of the law. Or, as James says, it's lawlessness. And that's the thing we need to be concerned about. So I'm just trying to set forth to you, it doesn't exclude them. Many attitudes and ideas do exclude it. The way people think about love today is very misleading. But that's not the way the Bible does it. And we're working our way back to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, where Jesus answered this question. What was the greatest commandment? And we'll get there in a few minutes. Let me suggest to you also the idea that law and love actually are combined. Passages like Psalms 119, verse 97. I'll just read that one for you. David wrote, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I love your law." Coming back to the New Testament, we can find things like that in John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter, and you look down at verse 15. Jesus himself says, "If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments." That's a combining of law and love. "If you love me, keep my commandments." In the next chapter, 15:14, "You're my friends if you do." They are combining this idea of a legal standard by which people can be measured, but at the same time, it's describing our heart and mind of what we're trying to accomplish. If you're there with me in John 14, look further down. Look at the very last verse, verse 31. "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." In the very thinking of Jesus in his action, there was a combination of love and commandment of God. And he accomplishes the love of God and the will of God through observing his commandments. Sometimes people don't see that, though. 1 John, the 2nd chapter, we read down. We read this one a few weeks ago when we were studying the 2nd chapter, verse 4 and 5. 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verse 4 says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar." What? Man, that's powerful. I mean, that's straightforward and blunt, isn't it? If we say we love God, or we know God, we understand God, and we don't keep his commandments, we're just kidding ourselves. There has to be a point that is made that we appreciate that. Or, if you're there with me in 1 John, go with me over to the 5th chapter and verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we do what?" "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." There is a thinking, I think especially in modern America, is this complete separation of the idea of love, which people can make emotional to the nth degree, and the idea of commandment, of almost being an attorney and parsing every law and being explicit in sort of the statements of filling out our tax returns and things of that nature. And that's not what our Lord is showing us in the Bible. He is showing us that there is a law and there is love, and the very fulfilling of law is love. And so many people fail to see that. So come back with me to Matthew, the 22nd chapter again, and we see where Jesus was asked this question. And I'm sure it had to be startling to them, but it is just as startling to so many people today when he is asked the question, "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?" And Jesus, it is amazing that Jesus couldn't think of the greatest law without thinking about love. That's just the way Jesus thought about it. What is the the great commandment of the law, verse 39, and second like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Or verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Love. How is love the greatest commandment in the law? Because it's what directs us in service to God. It is that very thing that will allow us to be a person of God. The greatest law. And think of that for a moment. Think of how that would be so unsettling to so many people in the world. But Jesus answered the question. They said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, love God and love your neighbor. And love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. He said, that's the greatest law. That's the greatest commandment that we should have. It would have the greatest influence in our lives and in people's lives around us. It would have the greatest motivation. It would have the most lasting power. If we had a love for people, a love for the truth of God, that would move us to live and serve Him. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter again. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We start off really with this idea that the greatest law is love. And it's about God. We were talking about love this morning. It's not what Hollywood thinks about love or Las Vegas or Washington, D.C. But the greatest commandments are from a God who has a heart of love. Such a concern for us and such a thought of our well-being, He's willing to give His eternal Son for the devastating problems we're facing down here in sin. But He makes this statement in verse 13. You probably could quote it. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Greatest of these is love. Back up with me to verse 4 and 5. He's describing here an attitude, isn't he? Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. First of all, love is, the greatest law is a love that has an attitude like this. That faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And the second one would be, when we read here in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the way he answers it would be the idea that it is active. It's not just an attitude. It's active in what it wants of us to be and what it would have us to do. Look with me, 2 John. Go back over there again. In 2 John, and we and look down at 2 John. Look at the statement that John has to say. Again, another statement. 2 John, the 6th verse. This is love. That we walk according to His commandments. Well, that's what Moses was saying, wasn't it? Back there in Deuteronomy 6 or Deuteronomy 11. He wasn't talking about some clash between law and love. Really what the problem was in the old law is they were guilty of sin and they did not have a sacrifice for sin. The blood of bulls and goats wouldn't take away sin. And so they were in trouble, destitute. The law of God is the very thing that exemplified the terrible condition that they were in. But here's John in 2 John 6. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. And this is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Greatest law is the love of God. That is the greatest law that we have. It's active. It keeps us going. Love obeys. It's what he wants us to see. Read it again. This is love that we do what? We walk according to his commandments. Well, not only that, the idea in 2 John 6, as he just reads it, it presents a form of keep on walking. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Look back with me there. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul writes in verse in verse 14, he's concerned about them and the life they're living, the things they're facing. He says in verse 14 of Ephesians 4, he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but doing what? Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. I don't think speaking the truth in love doesn't mean ignoring sin. I don't think he's saying that at all. You know the Apostle Paul wouldn't do that. The Apostle Paul is saying, let's have the love of God, the love of Christ, the holiness that we can reach to, which we can be children of the Lord and be described by him as people of the Lord. Look back in the Old Testament again. Psalms 19. Just this, I know you've read this passage many times. He starts off talking about in Psalms the 19th chapter, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But when we get down to about verse 7 of Psalms 19, he starts talking about the law of the Lord and describes the law of the Lord in I don't know how many ways down through here. In verse 7 of Psalms 19, the law of the Lord is perfect. Doing what? Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. When we talk about the law of God, we're not talking about something the world's thinking about with regard to law. We're talking about the way God demonstrates his love for mankind. And it's just a powerful thought. Love and the law go together in the Word of God and in being able to understand his will for us. And he has revealed that. And that's why Jesus would say, when it came time for him to go back to heaven, he would tell his disciples in Matthew, the 28th chapter, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Then he tells them to do what? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. Law and love go together. And let's put the two together, because that's what the Bible does. That's what God does. And let us flourish in understanding this is what he would have us to do. And our desire to be right with God allows us to walk in that light as he is in the light. Lessons of yours, if you're subject to heaven's call this evening, I would hope that as you listen to the things that the Word of God says, that you would have a determination, I want to walk with the Lord. We're not going to be able to just have people who are of an emotional bent, and I'm not saying there's not emotion in religion. There is. There's powerful emotion. All we can do is read the life of Jesus. But Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love God and love fellow man with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That kind of emotion. Do that, and you will be acceptable to the Lord. Do that, and you will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I know that sounds like a command and a law to so many people, but that's what the Lord said. Let's try and understand the Lord's way of it. If you're subject to heaven's call this evening, would you please come as we stand and sing?